Chapter 1. Kate O'Hare's favorite outfit was her blue windbreaker with the letters FBI written in yellow on the back, worn over a black t-shirt and matching black Kevlar vest. She had reluctantly relegated the outfit to the back of her tiny closet, which now overflowed with an assortment of designer clothes and resort casual beachwear. The designer clothes and beachwear were all acquired during her recent stint of undercover work. Tools of the trade, she told herself. Unfortunately, it was Nicholas Fox's trade. He was a brilliant con man and a world-class thief. She'd arrested him 2 years ago, and he'd charmed his way out of a lifetime in prison by offering up his unique talents to help the FBI take down the worst and most elusive criminals. Now she had the impossible job of acting as his handler. When conventional police work couldn't get the job done, the FBI set Fox loose to run questionably legal cons and undercover operations on out-of-reach bad guys. Some days, Kate wondered whether she was managing Nicholas Fox or he was managing her. Today was one of those days. It was noon, and she was standing in the middle of the Beverly Hills Saks Fifth Avenue dressed in black slacks, a black and white striped shirt, red suspenders, white gloves, and a black beret. Her face was painted completely white, except for her bright red lipstick. She was surrounded by a sea of similarly dressed men and women, possibly hundreds of them. It was a flash mob of mimes, and they were all doing classic mime stunts, trying to get out of invisible boxes and climb invisible ladders, struggling not to get blown away by non-existent wind. "This is ridiculous," Kate said to the mime standing next to her. "In fact, this has got to be the most ridiculous, humiliating plan you've ever devised. And that's saying a lot." The mime next to her was Nick Fox. "You have a short memory," he said. "Dressing as mimes can't compare to some of the humiliating situations we've experienced together. And besides, this is all your boss's fault. He gave us this case. I merely came up with the brilliant plan to solve it." He silently threw an imaginary lasso at Kate and pretended to pull her into him. "Get a grip," Kate said. "Not gonna happen." A growing crowd of shoppers and sales clerks had gathered around the flash mob. Kate scanned the room. The entire store, including two security guards, was entranced by the spectacle. "Think about it," Nick said. "In the last 5 years, three high-end jewelry stores have been robbed in New York, Chicago, and Las Vegas, while onlookers were distracted by flash mobs. It's actually pretty brilliant. Anonymously organize a flash mob over the internet, and you've got a crew of 100 people unwittingly helping you commit the perfect crime, all without having to split the money 100 ways. And it's designed to be a surprise piece of performance art, so participants are encouraged to keep the time and place private." Kate narrowed her eyes and stared at Nick. "I get that. What I don't get is how you happen to be on the guest list of the best kept secret in Los Angeles, and why you think this mob is going to cover for another robbery. I'd better not find out you're somehow involved in this. I'm hurt. It's as if you don't trust me. We're supposed to be partners on this assignment. You're a world-class con man. Of course I don't trust you." "Yeah, but you like me, right?" Kate blew out a sigh. "Yes, mostly." Nick flashed a crooked grin at Kate. Even with the white face makeup, Kate had to reluctantly admit he had a great smile, and Nick Fox was outrageously sexy in his tight-fitting black mime pants and black and white striped shirt. "It's noon," Nick said, "and the flash mob is supposed to dissipate in 3 minutes. If it's going to happen, it's going to be soon." Kate looked over at the Graff jewelry counter. A pair of Manolo Blahnik-clad feet poked out from behind the counter, toes up. "Crap," Kate said. "Man down at Graff." Nick and Kate pushed their way through the traffic jam of mimes and stared at the woman stretched out behind the counter. She was lying on the floor, breathing but not moving. She had on a red bandage dress, a name tag identifying her as Beth, the fine jewelry manager, and a tranquilizer dart stuck into her thigh. The counter was open, with the key still in the lock. Kate pulled the dart out of Beth's leg and felt for her pulse. "She seems okay," Kate said.